Amen. Well, we're going to follow the hymn, as it were, and follow Moses up Mount Nebo. If you look at Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, with these tremendous words, "And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Not a tremendous word about Moses. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we've been singing this hymn that's so appropriate to the passage of Scripture and the event that in thy will we want to look at and consider. Oh Lord, teach us what it means to climb Mount Nebo. Teach us what it means to look with spiritual eyes by thy grace, by faith, the land of spiritual Canaan, the wonderful inheritance laid up for thy people. If anyone knows not thee as Saviour, Lord, convict them that they do not have this hope, but instead the blackness of darkness forever. Oh, Father, bless us now, we pray, in our Saviour's name. Amen. I have attended quite a number of funerals. I've seen different types of funerals, some with many mourners, some with only a handful of mourners, some unusual funerals. I think it was last year when I attended one on the Shankill Road. I participated, was the speaker, and it was one of these, with a carriage behind and two lovely black horses. It's becoming very popular on the Shankill Road now to have that instead of the normal hearse. That was unusual to me. And I've seen unusual funerals. But there never has been and never will be a funeral like that of Moses. There were no mourners to follow or to weep at the grave. In fact, Moses walked on his own, humanly speaking, to the site of his death, knowing he was going to die at that spot and he was going to be buried. Isn't that an amazing thing? His actual death was unusual, for in verse 7 we read he was 120 when he died, yet his physical strength had not abated and his eye was not dim. He didn't need to go for eye tests like I did on Friday. 120 years of age, didn't need glasses. What a man, what an unusual death. In verse 5, so Moses died there in the land of Moab. I thought about that and looked it up and was struck. We call it Pisgah, we call it Mount Nebo, it's sometimes called the land of Moab, that included a big area, but it's specifically called Pisgah later on in different places. Verse 6 is called over against Beth Peor. Remember over in chapter 32 we read Pisgah. That's interesting. You know why? I'll not turn to it for time. In Numbers 23 there was an old false prophet called Balaam. And he was hired, wanted the money to curse Israel. They're camped down in the valley. And a wicked king called King Balak of Moab hired Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But every time he went to curse, out of his mouth came blessing. Isn't that amazing? God did that. Remember, the donkey spoke to him, not Balaam. But you know, in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 14, it says he stood on Mount Pisgah. That's the same place where Moses died and was buried, in that region, Mount Pisgah area. And he said this, "Oh, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my latter end be like theirs." He wanted to die as a righteous man. He knew he wasn't. And there's no evidence in Scripture he did. We believe he died unsaved, without hope and without God, and he's lost. And on that same area, just shortly after, Moses, the man of God, went up to that same area, and thank God he died the death of the righteous. And thank God tonight he's in glory. What a distinction. He died there. Now, Moses' death is unique. It's unique. The burial's unique. And yet, there are similarities in his death to that of every child of God. Everybody who's saved, everybody who's washed in the blood. And so as I
we need to talk about the death tonight. Now, a lot of people don't want to talk about death. You know that some superstitious people have the idea if you don't talk about it, it'll not happen. Well, it will happen. That's why we need to talk about it. It'll happen. And we need to talk about it because God talks about it so often in the Word and gives us illustrations like this of the death of a righteous man. So we ought to talk about it. And as I think about lessons from this story of Moses going up the mount, this great man of God, and God praises him in Scripture and honours him, keep in mind three deaths. Three deaths. Because that will help us understand the lessons. Number one, the death of Moses. That's what we're looking at. Number two, your death. Your death. Number three, the death of Christ, the Saviour of Moses. And when you think of those three together, that'll help you to understand and apply this incident of the death of Moses. Moses' death, your death, think about it, and Christ's death. So think about those things. Let me go through it very quickly then here, some of the things about it. I want you to notice here in verse 10, Moses' acclaim by God, his acclaim, but he's just died. And yet, in verse 10, we're told in Scripture, written, of course, by God, there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. This wonderful praise. You see, Moses was buried in secret. There's no gravestone. One of the reasons maybe you don't know where he's buried is it could have become a shrine. And, of course, God doesn't want that. But he was buried in secret by God. I said Moses went up alone. Well, that's only humanly speaking. For God was with him. God was with him. We don't know how he died, but God says you're going to go up and you're going to die there. And God was the undertaker. Not unusual. God was the undertaker. How did God bury him? We don't know, but the Bible says God buried him. Not amazing. What an acclaim to this man. He's called in verse 5 the servant of God. Now, we'll not attain to the great feats of Moses, but yet you can know God's acclaim. That just means approval or praise. Even for a cup of cold water given to a prophet in the name of the Lord, his people get rewards and praise. But I'm making the point that in verse 10, God gives great acclaim to this servant of his. God praises him in Scripture. He exalted, as it were, Moses before Pharaoh, before the Israelites. Exalted him in Scripture. His name's mentioned Old Testament, right through the New Testament, right to the book of Revelation. He's praised and honoured by God. In fact, for all eternity he's honoured, for in Revelation 15, they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. My, how God has honoured his servant. I believe another way he honoured him is this. He's a wonderful type of Christ. Wonderful type of Christ. That's a whole study in itself. And we don't imagine these things, for Moses himself in Deuteronomy 18 said, God's going to raise you up a prophet like unto me. Greater than him. But Moses actually said, one day Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior is going to come and he's going to be like me. Now God led him to say that. God led him to say that. Is that a wonderful honour? Moses, the type of Christ. You see, Moses was exalted and he brought the revelation of the law and God's word to the people. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the revelation. And the Lord Jesus Christ's name is exalted above every name. So you think of the acclaim of Moses here. Associate it with his death. Associate it with his death. You see, Christ is greater. Now, why did Moses die at this time? Because we saw last week. He was the meekest man on earth, but he lost it one day. Christ said, I am meek and lowly. He never sinned. His acclaim, his acclaim. But there, you also have his great accomplishments. In verse 11 there, do you see it? And all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt. The wonders. Verse 12, the mighty hand and the great terror which Moses showed. Oh, what great wonders.
Moses' commission was to go into Egypt and to bring the people out, to redeem them from the bondage and slavery of Egypt. That was his commission. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was commissioned to come into this world to draw out a people from the bondage of the Egypt of this world under, as it were, the Pharaoh of this world, Satan's dominion. Isn't that interesting, the parallels there? Do you know that both Christ and Moses were noted by the mighty miracles and signs that they did? Think of the signs of Moses with the plagues, other miracles. Both noted for the great miracles that they did. Isn't that tremendous? And then you also notice as you go through it, both of them had miracles with the wind and the sea. Remember? The wind and the sea. The wind opened the Red Sea. Well, a miracle God did it, but it does say God sent the wind as well. The Red Sea was opened. Water, wind. Christ there on the lake, he calmed the wind and the water. You think too of other examples. You know, the people tried to stone Moses and they tried to stone Christ when he went to Nazareth. Moses announced solemn judgments against Pharaoh in Egypt and warned them if they didn't turn from their path, God would judge them. The Lord Jesus Christ said, except you repent, you'll perish. A very similar message. And so Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, Acts 7, by Stephen. The Lord Jesus Christ, it says he was mighty. Lord Jesus Christ astonished at his wisdom and his mighty acts. You know, Moses on occasions had righteous anger. The Lord Jesus Christ on occasions had righteous anger. Do you know both Christ and Moses fasted for 40 days? Now, these things are not just by accident in Scripture. The Bible tells us Moses was a type or illustration of Christ. Christ one day said, Moses, give your forefathers manna, bread in the wilderness. I am the bread of life. I am the true life. So Moses, through God doing the miracle of the manna, was a picture of Christ. Of course, you have Moses lifting up the brazen serpent. Oh, that's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ lifted up at Calvary. We could go on and on of the parallels. Moses told the people about the promised land and to leave Egypt. The Lord Jesus Christ came to tell us about the promised land of heaven and to flee from the wrath to come and to flee this world and turn to him. Moses told the people the way to do it was when the death angel was coming. And there's going to be a death in every home. But oh, you could be saved from the death angel by the blood of the Lamb. And what's the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? There's salvation from the curse upon this world that will come. How? By the blood of He who is the Lamb of God. My Moses, I think he's acclaimed because of the wonderful parallels between his life. You and I will never do mighty miracles. I believe those days are gone. Yes, God still is powerful, but he doesn't work through sign miracles. It isn't this day and age. Bible clearly teaches that. There are certain periods in history when God worked dramatically. Moses, then Elijah, Elisha, New Testament with Christ, the apostles. But listen. You can have the mightiest accomplishment. Because when you think of Moses, what do you think of? What do the normal people who maybe don't even know the Bible? Who's Moses? The man that led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. What's the greatest accomplishment of a believer? To lead someone from the world to Christ. To have them trust in the blood of the Lamb and have them ready for heaven. That's the greatest accomplishment anyone can do, is to preach the gospel, is to warn sinners to flee from wrath and to trust in the blood of the Lamb. What a wonderful opportunity we have. You think of his accomplishments through the Lord to bring his people out. To bring his people out. But look in verse 10 of his acquaintance with God. You see, you'll never have a claim from God. What an epitaph he had. Servant of God. What's going to be in your epitaph? Think of your death. What's going to be in your epitaph? Well, you'll never have accomplishment and acclaim unless you're acquainted with God. Look what it says here in verse 10. Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Isn't that wonderful? Moses had an intimacy with God. Now, God spoke through other prophets at times, but God said, Moses is closer to me than any other prophet is or has been. I speak with him as a friend. I speak with him face to face. Isn't that wonderful? Now, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only person, because he's God and man, who had a closer fellowship with God the Father, because the Lord Jesus Christ is God. Moses saw, as I believe no other man saw it, the glory of God on the mountaintop. And the time he cried out, that I may see thy glory, that I may know thee. But of course he didn't see the fullness of God's glory. No man can and live. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fullness of the glory of the Godhead bodily. Think about Christ. Think about him. And then in Exodus 3, do you know Moses saw the burning bush? The Bible makes it very clear he saw Christ. It makes it very, very clear. The angel of the Lord was in that bush. He saw God the Son. No doubt about it. When he got the Ten Commandments, you know what you'll read? The angel of the Lord spoke. There on the mount, God the Son, Christ. Oh yes, he wasn't born and took a human body to Bethlehem. It's our Savior. Gave him the Ten Commandments. And he also gave him the plan of the tabernacle that we studied. Oh, wonderful acquaintance with Almighty God. Tell me, do you know the Lord? How acquainted are you with the Lord? That's the point. How acquainted? Do you listen to him? Does he talk to you? Now, in spite of his acclaim, wonderful prophet of God, in spite of his great accomplishments and his acquaintance, look at verse 5. He had an appointment with God and with death. Verse 5, so Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there according to the word of the Lord. Didn't you notice when I read in chapter 32, God said, Moses, I want you to go up Mount Nebo and die there. Moses' death, yes, very unusual in that God said, you're going to die according to the word of the Lord. Now, that's unusual. Yet, the Lord Jesus Christ died according to the word of the Lord. You know, the death of Christ was planned from before the foundation of the earth. That was prayed in the prayer meeting before the service. It was planned from eternity. Moses' death, he knew days before, or might have been weeks, we're not sure. You're going to die there. When I call you up, you're going appointed according to the word of the Lord. I'm saying Christ's death was according to the word of the Lord from all eternity and prophesied. But there's a sense in which, Christian, your death is appointed. Your death's appointed by the word of the Lord. We don't know when that will be. But it's appointed. It's appointed. Now, what about his attitudes facing death? This is important. What about the attitudes? I thought about that. Well, I believe as he walked up that mountain, he had regrets. Of course he did. There's no doubt about it. Because remember, we talked about how God said, you'll not go into the promised land. And he prayed and prayed. And in Deuteronomy 3, God said, Moses, don't pray that anymore. Don't pray. Moses regretted the day when he sinned and the consequences. And yes, no matter how holy a believer is, there are always regrets that we haven't done all that we could. Now, we ought to live so that we don't have as many regrets. But there were regrets. But thank God there was confidence. Can you not picture in your mind's eye Moses walking up with God? Confidently. His Lord was with him. I'm about to die, but I'm at perfect peace. I believe he had peace and confidence. And a great hope. Because I love this part. And I'm sure you know it in verse 1. Moses went up from the plains of Moab onto the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. See it? And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. Before he died, God said, come up here in this high mountain. Now look, you see all that land?
right away there for miles, probably about 60 miles, experts say. You see all that? It's going to be the Israelites. Now, you can't go in and actually take it, but it's all Israelites. He saw it. And you know, as I thought about that and studied it, you know what I believe? It's more than just seeing with a natural eye. Number one, because of the distance, but that's a legal term. Here's what I mean. You see, what it is, this is the land that God swore, the verse 4, to Abraham, Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. God made a covenant, a legal agreement to Abraham that your seed, your descendants will possess the land. Now, they're going to go down for 400 years into Egypt, but I'm going to bring them out again, and I'm going to bring them into the land. And you remember in Genesis 13, when Abraham separated from Lot, what did God say? Just what he said to Moses. Lift up your eyes and look in the land, for it's yours and your seed. This is a legal thing. In other words, Abraham's looking at it and he's claiming it by faith. And as Moses looked at that land, this is what I'm trying to say. As he looked in that land, he's claiming it by faith. Lord, this is the land you have covenanted and legally promised, swore an oath that the Israelites will have it. You say, well, what's that got to do with us? Well, thank God as we come, if you're a believer, when you come to face death, you can by faith say, oh God, you've made a covenant. That because I'm in Christ and because I've trusted Christ, there's an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. And by faith, as a believer comes to die, if their mind is conscious, they can say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me to see that land and to claim it by faith in the promises of God. Satan's whispering to me that, oh, you'll die and that's it. And, oh, you're too much a sinner to get into heaven. Maybe you didn't believe enough, or maybe this and that. And a lot of aged saints do have doubts, especially if there's weakness of body. I visited at beds of people. I think of one particular lady way down there in County Down many years ago. And there's nobody doubted her salvation. Nobody. I did no doubt. But, you know, towards the end of her life, through pain and confusion, when I would arrive, oh, Mr. Johnson, I'm glad you're here. I need to be saved. I'd say, but you are saved. Oh, well, I don't know if I believed her. You know, she was confused. Why, she had the marks of grace in her life. Marks of grace. There can be confusion. But generally, the pathway for a believer is that we can ask God to help us to go, as it were, our Mount Nebo, and to look forward to the wonderful inheritance that God has given to us. It's ours. It's ours, a covenant, a hope of heaven. That's how believers died in the Old Testament, the normal way that they died. Now, here's another wonderful thing about it. God attended Moses' funeral. Isn't that tremendous? Oh yes, there were no other mourners there, but we're told clearly quite here, God was there. God buried him. We don't know, did God dig the grave? Did he just speak or think and the ground opened? We don't know. Some speculate that he commanded an angel. Well, we're not told that. We don't know. We don't need to know, but we do know this, God buried him. It says that in the reading, God buried him. God was right there as he died. How did he die? Well, you'd love to know, wouldn't you? God says you're going to die. Moses walked up to that site. Did he just breathe suddenly and die? Did he? Because his body didn't feel the effects of age, as we men and women usually do. But he died. You know, I think that's telling me he died at peace. It was a going to sleep, as the New Testament calls it. God attended his death. Now, when you think that about Moses' death, and I'm sure you'll think about it at Trust this week, read the passage again. Do you know what the first thought would be? Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if my death was like that of Moses? Well, it'll not be in the unusual circumstances, but believer, it will be very similar. Because what did the Lord say in Isaiah 43? When thou passest through the waters,
I will be with thee.
Every believer, no matter that dear lady I thought about in my mind, she was confused through the illness. Thank God the Lord was still with her. And the Lord will be with every believer through the valley of the shadow of death. There's a hymn that says, God, my Redeemer, lives, and often from the skies, looks down and watches all my dust, that he shall bid it rise. God watches over the burial place of every believer. Every believer until that day. One last one. When you think of the death of Moses in this chapter, the story doesn't finish. Because you can think of Moses after his death. You see, there is an after. There's a great after. He died. God buried his body in a grave that no one knows. But do you know, 1500 years later, Moses was standing above the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ, Matthew 17. And he's there in the body. And he's talking to the Savior whose garments become white like the sun. And he's talking to the Savior about Calvary, about the Savior's literally exodus, his decease. But of course that's what Moses wrote about so much, the death of Christ and his salvation. And Moses was there inside the perimeter, if you like, of the promised land. There was an after. There was an after for Moses. And there's an after for every child of God who dies in Christ. It's not the end. It's not the end. Moses is in heaven. Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, even in his day, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And you could add Moses and others. And all believers. What does that passage mean? Yes, believers die physically, buried in the grave. But that's not the end. We'll part no more, we sang. There's going to be a resurrection day. All of us will end up in the promised land of glory. Not a wonderful encouragement from the death of Moses. That is so certain. There's a hymn that says, there's a hymn in prayer, could we but climb where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er, not Jordan's stream nor death's cold flood should fright us from the shore. Now, we're all going to die, but it's only those who are in Christ who can, as it were, climb Mount Nebo and coming to death have that assurance and by faith view over the promised land of glory and say, one day that's where I'm going. God's going to raise my body and I'll be in heaven forever. What a sight. Do you know anything about that? We ought to think about Moses' death. But then, thank God, think about Christ's death. Because of his death and resurrection and salvation, we have that hope and confidence that Moses had. We'll be forever with the Lord one day in that glory land. How are you planning to climb Mount Nebo? God has recorded the details of Moses' life and death because he wants us to think about it. It's here in the Bible to think about it. Now what I've done tonight, it was a poem. I've only about 30 copies here, so there's not one for everybody, but if you want to take one, husband and wife or whatever, I just thought you might like to read it. Of course, it's not inspired. Read the Bible, study the Bible account of Moses. But still, I always remember my late father, even coming 90, could just quote it all off like that. They're made to learn it in school in the County Tyrone, as he would put it. We say Tyrone, but anybody from Tyrone say County Tyrone. But he could quote it because he had to learn it in school in Castle Caulfield. And of course, the writer came from County Tyrone. Her father was a major in the military. And she wrote one of the greatest poems ever written. Lord Tennyson said that he would have been proud and happy to have written the poem by Mrs. Cecil Frances Alexander, There is a Green Hill Far Away. She wrote it once in Royal David City, so many hymns in our hymn book. But she wrote a great hymn on the burial of Moses. And it's better read than said. better read than said. But if you want a copy, if you don't know what I'm talking about, the poem of Mrs. Alexander by Nebo's Lonely Mountain. I'm not going to read it all. But by Nebo's Lonely Mountain, on this side Jordan's wave, in a vale in the land of Moab, there lies a lonely grave. And no man knows the sepulchre, and no man saw it there, for the angels of God upturned the sod and laid the dead man there. O lonely grave, this is the last verse in Moab's land. O dark path, Peor's hill, speak to these curious hearts of ours and teach them to be still. God hath his mysteries of grace, ways that we cannot tell. He hides them deep, like the hidden sleep of him he loved so well. If you want to read the poem, what she bases it on, she compares it to the death and burial of maybe a mighty military leader or general, or a famous poet or philosopher getting a state funeral. And she compares that to the wonderful funeral and burial of Moses. Will you have a burial like Moses?